What's up? This your man Umar Lee, live on the scene here in St. Louis, Missouri. And on the other end, we have none other than Mr. Chris Bethel. What's up, Chris? How was your week? I'm almost burned out every week, you know what I'm saying? But I'm taking a gap decade, so, you know, it's like, just kind of relaxing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm looking forward to Game of Thrones, obviously. Been looking forward to it since the end of season 6. You know, I went and played kickball yesterday, Team Green, down Tower Grove Park. And I hadn't played, you know, I hadn't played since 1986. So, 31-year recess. I catched very well. I played very well in the field. You know, I got very good hand-eye coordination. I got very good speed. I was 0-for-2 hitting. I lined to the pitcher on my first at-bat, and a pop-up to a shallow just right behind the first base the second time. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know the rules either. I'm just happy I didn't swing and miss the ball. You know what I'm trying to say? That's my happiness. Nope. But I ain't want to be the only one. You know what I'm saying? And if there was a hipster Olympics, kickball would be in it. They love kickball. But, you know, I was playing for charity, for Team Green, older woman Megan Leah Green here in St. Louis. She invited me, and I was very happy to participate, along with a lot of local other St. Louis political personalities. And, you know, that's what's up. Your competitive tag is the next step. You know what I'm trying to say? Competitive tag. So anyway, what we've all been waiting for is going to happen tonight. In between every season of Game of Thrones, I consume myself with rereading the books, reading theories of the show on various websites. I have a couple of YouTube channels I really like. Game of Thrones Academies, two Israeli guys, Itamar and Gil. I really love their channel because they just don't talk about the show and theories, but they tie it to historical events, and they're real kind of intellectual dudes, and I like what they do in their analyzation of the show and tying it to history and current events, etc. I also like The Last Harpy and Alt-Shift-X, but they... You know, those guys are strictly focused on the show. They don't necessarily tie it to anything greater than the show. But, you know, so these 7 episodes are going to hold me off until the last 6. And I've been binging on videos, rewatching the show. And it all culminates tonight. I rewatched the first 6 seasons. And it's a very rich show. I feel like Game of Thrones is the hallmark of a great show, whether it be The Wire, The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, whatever. You know, those great shows that are in the canon, you know, of the top shows. True Detective Season 1, you know, the hallmark of a great show is people watch it and think the show is uniquely speaking to them and that they themselves have a unique understanding of the show. And everybody has that same thing. That, you know, I understand this a little better than you do, you know. So, oh, yeah. Well, if you look, there's like 80 characters in Game of Thrones, and like 20 or 30 are dead. You know what I'm saying? So that's over 100 at one time. And let's talk about another 20 or 30 who were probably left out of the show that were in the books. You know, you know, it's a rich world that George R. R. Martin has painted. And HBO has already said they're going to do 4 or 5 spinoffs. And they could probably do 20 spinoffs. I mean, it can really be a franchise like Star Trek and just go on forever because there's so many stories and history and lore of Westeros and Essos and, you know, so many stories. So, in analyzing this season and making predictions, I think the best way to do it is to divide it into regions. So, on one side, you have King's Landing, you know, with Cersei Lannister being the head of that. The other side, you have, you know, the North, which would be, you know, north of the Wall, and Winterfell. The other side, you will have the South, Dorne, and, you know, Castle Rock is more the West, but and the other side, you will have Daenerys Targaryen and all those coming with her from Essos. And we're done with Essos, so we're pretty much done with that. Other than if we want to talk about what influence the Iron Bank and the Faceless Men will have. So let's start with King's Landing, the capital. You're in the capital of the United States, Washington, D.C., which is a cesspool about on par with King's Landing. Full of pie cells and Meister Kyber. So, what do you think is going to happen in King's Landing, Cersei, Jaime, that whole crew down there? You're on. Okay, my prediction King's Landing is they got a pretty fucked up future right now. You know, let's look at the end of season 6, ended in a massive terrorist attack. And make no mistake about it, this was an act of terrorism. Cersei Lannister is a designated terrorist. She's on the State Department list. And anyone helping her is guilty of material support. She has this hideous, you know, mountain beside her that the mad scientist, Meister Qyburn, has helped to create. And it's just a bad situation with Cersei Lannister. All her children are dead, and now she just is focusing on raw power and revenge. I do believe she will, you know, she'll figure out a way to put up a fight, but she has enemies on every side. She has enemies to the east, And let's specify this. Her name is to the east to who? They are the Iron Bank of Braunos and the Faceless Men. She owes, the crown is in debt, and she has no intention of repaying that debt. And sooner or later, the Iron Bank is going to want to get that debt repaid. And that's why they backed the claim of Stannis Baratheon after he promised to repay that debt. She has enemies to the west, enemies to the north. I mean, the north being, you know, Jon Snow, the king of the north, and enemies to the south, Dorne, and enemies to the west. I think what's going to happen with Cersei is a couple of things. She's going to ally herself with Euron Greyjoy, and the Greyjoy fleet is going to there's going to be a battle of the Greyjoy fleet. Between the two Greyjoy fleets, between Euron Greyjoy's fleet and between the fleet with Theon and Yara. I do predict Theon and Yara will be killed. I think those are two characters going to die. I think before he dies, Theon is going to redeem himself. He's going to do something heroic in the battle, but he's going to ultimately die in the battle. I have not forgiven Theon for his treachery. I've not forgiven him for what he did in Winterfell. I know he got tortured. Fuck no. You know what I'm saying? I know he got his dick cut off. I know all that shit happened. But man, he did some pretty horrific and nasty shit. And he has not redeemed himself in my eyes. Yeah, fuck it. You know, Tennessee. Not a fan of Theon Greyjoy. Not a fan. He'll redeem himself, and then he'll die. That's how it is. Same thing with Yara. I'm not really a fan of Yara. I mean, she's not. The decision was made who the king was. They have a process. They have the rule of law in the Iron Islands. That rule of law and that process ruled that her uncle to be the king. You know, the drowned god chose him. You know, if anyone just going to say, I don't like the decision of the drowned god and become a king, then you have absolute chaos and anarchy in the Iron Islands. And I don't think that's something that can be accepted. That's what it is. I mean, that's the system. Okay, that's the system. Don't matter. The drowned god chose them. Don't matter. That's how the system works. The drowned god chose. That's it. He was chosen to be the king. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? King's Landing is going to burn as well by the end of this season. By season 8, King's Landing is going to be... King's Landing will look like Kenlock by season 8. It's going to be fucked up. Moving on to the west. Talk away from the phone a little bit, Toy. By Susan 8. This season, a couple of things we've seen in the previews give us some tipping points as far as the Lannister army is concerned. Cassidy Rock is going to fall. The Unsullied are going to attack Cassidy Rock, the home base of the Lannister army and the Lannister family. Cassidy Rock is going to fall to the Targaryens via the Unsullied. Right. Number two, they're going to attack north of King's Landing. We've seen the banner of House Tarly, so Randall Tarly is going to lead his army, minus his sword, because Sam has his sword at the Citadel. And the Dothraki are going to meet the Tarlys and Jaime Lannister with Bronn in the field. And they're going to destroy and crush House Tarly and the Lannister army in the field. And Jaime's going to have to flee back to King's Landing without an army. And I believe that in episode 7, he'll either 6 or 7, he'll kill Cersei, because he'll see there's no future for the Lannister army. They can't win, and there is no army left, and she's going to propose, you know, something with wildfire or something, and he'll finally kill his sister. And there will be no, at that point, there will be no queen, no king, no effective leadership, a complete vacuum and chaos in King's Landing. Moving on. No, I'm going to talk about Dawn right now. I believe that they're all getting got. Sand Snakes, all them, they're all going to die. They're not very popular. They were... Right. Right. And the books, even for, well, the books, this TV, this is some shit the TV people came up with to add some new sex and spice to the show. But they're not interested. Not very interesting. They're going to get killed. Moving on. And Kevin Lannister will get killed, obviously, too, when Cassidy Rock falls. But, that's right. That's right. Kevin Lannister. Are you sure about that? Did he die at the, he was there? I thought he went back to Cassidy Rock. So he was at the wedding. I mean, he was at the trial. And I think the old lady Tyrell will die too. I think she'll meet her fate. Yeah, Lady Olenna Tyrell, she'll die too. I think Sam and Gilly at the Citadel. One of the things a lot of people don't understand is not only are they researching to defeat the White Walkers, but they'll increasingly, as dragons burn and pillage Westeros, they'll increasingly be studying how to defeat the dragons. Because dragons are weapons of mass destruction. For a peaceful world, dragons must be eliminated. Dragons cannot be a part of this world and to be a peaceful world. It's a WMD. I know people like to draw, oh, they're cute, and oh, Daenerys can ride on top of the dragon, and maybe Tyrion can ride on top of one, and maybe Jon Snow / Targaryen can ride on one. No. They burn women. They burn children. They burn cities. Dragons are not a good force. And I think the Citadel, one of the things the Citadel wants a world of logic, a world of reason. They want a renaissance. And he's going to be studying how to defeat the White Walkers and how to defeat the dragons. And I think it's going to be a big, big part. I think Gilly's going to be part of it. I think, you know, Sam's going to be a part of it. And I think they'll be working with Tyrion Lannister later on to study how to defeat both dragons and the White Walkers. Okay, we'll get to that when we get to the north. Moving to the north, let's start with Sansa Stark and Littlefinger, Lord Peter Baelish. And Lord Peter Baelish is one of my favorite characters. That's my man. He's plotting and scheming. And I got some bold predictions. I think Lord Peter Baelish, first of all, I think he'll die by the end of the season, killed by Arya Stark. Arya is going to be back in Winterfell. She's going to reunite with her siblings. She's going to find out the truth of how Peter Baelish killed or helped to kill or helped to betray Ned Stark. Bronn is going to be back in Winterfell. And, of course, this motherfucker can see the past and the future, so he's going to be, you know, he's going to tell Jon Snow that he's a Targaryen. He's going to tell a lot of stuff. And it's not good for... But I think before he gets killed, I think he's going to... him and Sansa are going to get it all. I think he's going to tap that ass. That's another prediction I have. You know what I'm saying? He's going to... What's that? I like Sir Davos. I think he'll make it to season 8. I think he'll make it in the season 8. I got faith in Sir Davos. I got faith that Sir Davos is gonna make it. No, I don't think Brienne's gonna make it. She's gonna die. I don't think Bronn is gonna make it. He's gonna die. Fighting alongside Jaime. Keep in mind, they got Dothrakis and dragons that they're facing. Another thing is, I think we'll see Sansa turning on Jon by the end of the season, and she's gonna find a way to cross out Jon. And when they find out he's a Targaryen, they're gonna find a way to X out his claim, or say that he does not have a rightful claim to Right. No. He tells people that. He tells people he's someone. He tells people. But John is not a smart guy. He's emotional. That's how Ramsey Bolton got him to charge into the field when he brought Recon out into the field. Sansa knew he was dead no matter what. You know, trying to say, Jon Snow, he's like Ned. Ned would not have made a good ruler because he was too high-minded. And Jon is both too high-minded to realistic. I'll give you an example. Lady Melisandre. Okay. She offed the little girl. Yeah, Princess Serene. It was very sad. Very, you know, very terrible. But she also brought that motherfucker back to life. You know what I'm saying? And so he has to say, I need this person by my side. But instead he takes the high-minded, moralist stance, and he sends her away. Not good. Not good. I think Jon Snow is going to be not the King of North by the end of the season. And he'll be headed north, leading people. The Brotherhood Without Banners, I think, will have Sandor Clegane, the Hound, and the Brotherhood Without Banners, and possibly even Arya. I don't think Arya, but it'll have the Brotherhood Without Banners and the Hound and others, some of the Wildlings, and they'll head north to face the White Walkers, the army of the dead. I think the Wall is coming down. By the end in episode 7. And I think within the Wall, there's an ice dragon. And that ice dragon will later be used to fight the dragons of Daenerys Targaryen. But the Wall's coming down. Well, I think they got their own dragon. They got an ice dragon in the Wall. So, they got their own dragon. And, that's what's up. And by season 7, it'll be on. The Great War will be here, as we heard in the preview. And Jon Snow will be leading that battle in the north, as Sansa Stark, begins to lead her forces to, ride south, to take the, Seven Kingdoms. She wants it all. Let's move on to Daenerys Targaryen. I think the big story with her is a heel turn. I think we saw it in the face of Tyrion Lannister. I think that as she conquers more and more of Westeros, you know, she'll land in Dragonstone the first episode. We already know that. The name of the episode is Dragonstone. She'll be combining with the Red Priestess and the followers of the Lord of Light. She'll increasingly grow into a negative figure. And by the end of the season, she'll be drunk and mad and intoxicated with power, and become very similar to her father, the Mad King. And Tyrion Lannister is ultimately going to have to find a way. He's going to have to kill Daenerys. But that won't be this season. That'll be next season. But the seeds of that will be planted in this season. She'll become a Mad Queen. And she'll never sit on the Iron Throne. She'll become a Mad Queen. And right. That doesn't mean she ain't still trying to do it. And, and let's look at her. They're going to meet this season. But, I don't think they're going to join forces. I think she's going to, have a decision that she can join Jon Snow in the Great War, in the real war, or she can try to take the Iron Throne. It's two different directions. And I think she'll choose the Iron Throne. She was born to sit on the Iron Throne, as she says. You know, I think that's her nutty-ass vision. Instead of the real war that humanity needs, she's going to choose the narcissistic path to head towards the Iron Throne. She's not going to do the right thing. I believe she'll reject Jon Snow. She's coming over with an army of sellswords, with a Dothraki army that will rape, murder, and kill, with WMDs in the form of dragons that will burn entire villages and towns, with Tyrion Lannister, who killed his father, by her side. She's not going to be very popular. She's not going to be the popular figure that she thinks she's going to be. She ain't gonna care, but I'm talking about the viewers are gonna care and the other people are gonna care. And I know she's the sex symbol of the show, it's Hollywood. And my only fear is that I think George R. R. Martin, no doubt, was gonna have her written into the books as becoming a villain. And I think the HBO show, the writers are influenced kind of by pop culture and current trends and on politics and whatnot, they may be scared to do it. That's my only reservation with regards to her heel turn, is the HBO going more conventional, going more Hollywood instead of what George R. R. Martin would have had it. Let's talk about my man, Sir Jorah Mormont. With his gray skin, do you think he'll be cured or that motherfucker dead? What's your opinion? Okay, that's your prediction. Yeah, I think that's gonna happen too. I think. He's a stalker. He needs to let Daenerys go. I think, you know, look, it ain't gonna happen, buddy. I think you need to just move on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, she'll find a suitor. I believe that'll happen. I believe that will happen. I'm not quite sure who it would be. I believe that will happen. Let's see, who are we missing out at this point? Let me see. Have we covered everybody? Okay, let's talk a little more about Arya Stark. What do you think Arya Stark will be doing this season? Okay, but who's she gonna kill? Yeah. Besides Littlefinger, because we already talked about that. Yeah, I think Jamie gonna beat her to that. I think she's gonna see the Hound this season, and they're gonna kind of make up, you know, because they did have that begrudging respect for each other, and I think they'll kind of make up. I think Brianna Toth, we didn't talk about her and Sir Podrick Payne. I think that Brianna's gonna see Jamie again, but I think Brianna's gonna die this season, and I think Sir Podrick is gonna die as well. I think that's gonna happen, that they'll fall in battle. And Gendry. Yeah. He could show up at Dragonstone. That's a theory. Or he could show up with the Brother Without Banners. I think he's going to show up with the Brother Without Banners. And there's a theory that he was one of the people shown in the preview, along with Beric Dondarrion and the Hound riding north of the Wall. It was kind of like this all-star team of fighters. There could be a grand meeting between Arya, the Hound, and Gendry. And we could have a Gendry-Arya marriage. That's a possibility. I don't think we'll see that, but there's some speculation. You might see the, maybe when Sansa's getting it on Littlefinger in one room at Winterfell, maybe Gendry and Arya can find a room, you know, to get it on. It's a possibility, you know. I think Arya's of legal age of consent now. I think, she should be able to get some. I don't think there's no reason for her to stay celibate. I think that's an undue burden upon her, you know. And, everybody needs a little loving. And what's wrong with that? So these are our predictions for Season 7 of Game of Thrones. I think it'd be epic. I think it'd be a great season. Again, I prefer the writing of George R. R. Martin to the HBO people. They did a lot of corny-ass shit last season with Game of Thrones Academy, GOT Academy at YouTube. Really outlined, for example, the transporting that the people in Dorne and Martell and Varys. I mean, Varys was just hopping around the globe, you know, like he was on, like he was on Star Trek or something. That was kind of the HBO writer's influence. Again, I believe they will. I would be disappointed on some levels because some Hollywood-ass shit is going on. But, we'll see. Kind of my thing, after episodes, I read the review in Forbes from Eric Kane. Does a good job. I read a review in Atlantic. They do a good job. Spencer Ackerman, he's got a good Game of Thrones podcast and review. He does. And, of course, GOT Academy. So I'll be busy binging on that after each episode. I think GOT Academy is going to do like 3 videos a week throughout the season, plus one more for the patrons on Patreon. They're on YouTube. That's correct. Yeah, they're on YouTube. There are other channels too, but that's my favorite. There are many other channels, you know. That's my prediction, man. That's what it is, man. And, of course, I have a feeling to coinciding with Game of Thrones coming back. I don't know why I have this feeling. There's going to be some crazy shit happening in the world this week, too. Because Game of Thrones coming back and it's just something in the air. And, you know, Donald Trump is the president. And, you know, the world... That's crazy in itself, and the world is a fucked up place, and anything can happen, and I have a feeling that something crazy is going to happen this week. I believe that, I don't know what it is, we're in an era where anything can happen, but I feel this week some crazy shit is going to happen. And anything can happen because Donald Trump is the president. We got ISIS. We got Vladimir Putin's president of Russia. We got Erdogan in Turkey. Yeah, Ramadan Kadyrov. We got Erdogan. You know, we got a world full of ego-driven, power-hungry leaders, and no one ever talk about what is the reason I want to talk about CC is. You know, CC obviously is a power-hungry, you know, dictatorial type of figure. But, you know, a couple of things. Like he presents no threat outside of his borders, right? So those other people present threats outside of their borders that could have a negative negative effect to the international balance thing. And number two, you know, he's battling ISIS and battling the Muslim Brotherhood, and you know, he's battling, you know, he's battling bad actors. So he's seen as being on the side of good, even though as a human rights figure, he's right up there with Putin and Erdogan, etc. But you know, it's seen that he's the lesser of the possible evils that could rule Syria. And one thing we have noticed is, because we're running short of time now, that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which has dominated the news cycle for decades, is really in the back burner because of Syria and because of other things. It's really on the back burner. For example, we had a terrorist attack in Jerusalem yesterday. Two Israeli soldiers were murdered. Two guys went to Al-Aqsa Mosque. Somehow they got guns. They left and killed two Israeli soldiers, and they ran back and were shot and killed on the Temple Mount. It's pretty dramatic footage. The video's out. You can see it. But it's really on the back burner. Really on the back burner for the first time forever. So anyway, that's our prediction for season 7. And you'll have to stay tuned to see what we were right on, what we were wrong on. I'm wrong about very few things. I expect to be right about the vast majority of my predictions. But if I'm not, you can be sure to remind me. You know, follow me on Twitter at Pen of Umar. Go to my blog, umarlee.wordpress.com. And you get all of my updates. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel. Peace.